This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Last time we began with the story of the repentance of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and we reached to where he said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had finally returned from the battle of Tabuk. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first thing he does when he arrives from a travel is that he goes straight to al-masjid and he prays two rak'at. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did before he visits anyone. Before he visits his family or sees anyone, he goes straight to al-masjid and he prays two rak'at. This is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching the ummah the importance of the relationship and the connection that the believer is supposed to have with the masjid. That it is more important than your family, more important than your business. So the first thing he does when he arrives, he would pray two rak'at. Now when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prayed two rak'at, and he's sitting in the masjid, and all those that did not attend the battle of Badr, included in them Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and 80 people are sitting and waiting, so that they come forth before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and give in their excuse. You have to give your excuse for why did you not attend the battle of Tabuk. So Ka'b radiallahu anhu, we reach the point where he has, that's it, he's made his mind up that he'll speak the truth. Before that, he was doubtful. Shall I lie? Shall I speak the truth? Anyway, now he's made his mind up and he is going to speak the truth. So Ka'b radiallahu anhu, now he says, فَلَمَّا فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ, يعني when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم finished his two rak'at, جَاءَهُ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ فَطَفِقُوا يَعْتَذِرُونَ إِلَيْهِ وَيَحْلِفُونَ لَهُ وَكَانُوا بِضْعًا وَثَمَانِينَ رَجُلًا. He says, when he finished his two rak'at and he sat, Al-Munafiqoon, they came one after the other, and everyone that failed to join in the battle of Tabuk was coming one after the other, and they began to put forth their false excuse, and they were taking an oath by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of him. One is saying, Ya Rasulullah, Wallahi, my family, I had to take care of him. Wallahi, Ya Rasulullah, someone in the family died, and there was no one to wash him and bury him, so, you know, I had to do that. It was my responsibility. Yeah, they're lying. Everyone is putting a lie in. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting, and he's accepting the excuse of every single one of them. Every excuse they had to express, he's accepting. And he took their pledge of allegiance, right? As the hadith would mention, وَبَايَعَهُمُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمْ وَوَكَلَ سَرَائِرَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam began to accept, خلاص, no worries, انت بإذن الله, may Allah forgive you, next. What's your excuse? أنا والله يا رسول الله, my back, no worries, may Allah forgive you, بإذن الله, you accept it, yallah, move on, next. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can only judge by their apparent and what they're saying. وَوَكَلَ سَرَائِرَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left the intention and the real purpose and the real reason for why they did not join, he left it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge. And this is why later on in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal, استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم إن تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم. The ayah came very clear that whether you sought tawbah and forgiveness for them 70 times or you did not ask, if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. Yani 70 times, yani if you asked Allah to forgive them infinite amount of times, over and over again, Allah will not forgive them. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Because they lied and they disbelieved and these were the hypocrites. So subhanAllah, you understand something here. When Ka'b says that they were only about 83, approximately 83 men that didn't go. You know, subhanAllah, 83 men, yani, this allows you to reflect over the success of the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look where the da'wah reached, look how successful it was, to the point that only 83 men didn't join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And 30,000 went with him. Huwa, yani, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story of Talut and Jalut, you know, Talut, when he came out to go and fight Jalut and his army, 70,000 left with him. And those who failed were everyone except approximately 300 men. And everyone else failed when they were going to fight Jalut. So you can understand the success of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's da'wah, in where the majority, the vast majority left and went with him because they were trained well and they were trained properly, teaches you about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his skill and the absolute might and power that Allah Azza wa Jal gave him in his da'wah, that only 83 weren't able and did not join with him. For this is, it's the success of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's da'wah. Then Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he says, حتى جئت فلما سلمت تبسم تبسم المغضب. He said, now the munafiqoon, one after the other, they finished, now it's my turn. So he said, I came and I approached the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he greeted me and he smiled. I greeted him and he smiled the smile of an angry person. Now you need to understand here, Ka'b radiallahu anhu is going to describe every minor detail for us. How Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks like. Why? Because this implies that he's concerned in his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to know this very moment, how is it going to go for him? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiles the smile of an angry person. Yani, in other words, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves him. Loves Ka'b radiallahu anhu, from among the Sahaba that first were to accept Islam. But there's something that Ka'b radiallahu anhu did that is wrong, and he's supposed to know and feel that it is wrong from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looks at him and he smiles, the smile of an angry person, and he says to him, Ta'al, come forward, Allah, it's your turn. So Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he said, فَجِئْتُ أَمْشِي حَتَّى جَلَسْتُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. I began to walk forward until I reached him and I sat right before him. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, مَا خَلَّفَكْ. What held you back? What held you back? أَلَمْ تَكُنْ قَدْ ابْتَعْتَ ظَهْرَكْ. Didn't you purchase a camel that will carry you? Yani Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here, he knows the affairs of every single sahabi of his. He knows that Ka'b radiallahu anhu had an animal. He had a camel that was able to carry him. He had no excuse. Shuf again, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the teacher and being the spiritual leader, he's in contact and connection with everyone to the point where he knows each and every single person of the sahaba radiallahu anhu. So he says to him, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ قَدْ ابْتَعْتَ ظَهْرَكَ مَا خَلَّفَكَ. We need to understand something very important. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not just teaching Ka'b a lesson. He's teaching the entire ummah a lesson, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, this is a question to everyone that has delayed and abandoned the obligations. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, مَا خَلَّفَكْ. Into these words, مَا خَلَّفَكْ, put them in your case. What is the thing that stopped you from adhering to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is not only a question to Ka'b. This is a question to every single person that has neglected some of the obligations of Allah azza wa jal. You know, what has stopped you from praying on time? And what has stopped you from wearing the scarf and making that commitment? And you know, what has stopped you from engaging in a da'wah ilallah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, subhanallah, when you knew that Islam doesn't just want you, rather Islam needs you like it needed Ka'b at the time. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying to Ka'b, مَا خَلَّفَكْ. He's not saying, you know, there was 30,000, that's enough, what's one person going to do? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam needs and realizes that every single person needs to understand that they are in need of al-Islam. And they're supposed to be there, and there is no excuse for anyone. So, مَا خَلَّفَكْ. Well, subhanallah, this is because of one obligation Ka'b left. He just left out one obligation, and that is that he missed the battle of Tabuk, right? How many obligations have you and I left out? How many times are we supposed to repeat in our minds, مَا خَلَّفَكْ, مَا خَلَّفَكْ, and have an answer to each and every single one of them? When your family was in need of advice, and you left them, مَا خَلَّفَكْ. When al-Islam and when the ummah of al-Islam needed you and needed your wealth and needed your support and help, you need to ask yourself, مَا خَلَّفَكْ. What held you behind? Why didn't you support? Why weren't you there when it was an obligation? For this, مَا خَلَّفَكْ, these two words, it's not just the story relating to Ka'b. This is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam educating the entire ummah and teaching the entire ummah that when Islam needs you, when there's an obligation, fulfill, and you need to be there. And if you're not, you better prepare an answer for it. مَا خَلَّفَكْ, answer it. And be honest with yourself. أَلَمْ تَكُنْ قَدْ ابْتَعْتَ ظَهْرَكْ. In other words, didn't you own a ride and didn't you own a camel? So in other words, be honest. What was the reason for why you were let, you left behind and you left, you stayed behind? What stopped you from approaching and fulfilling the obligation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he says, Ya Rasulullah, إني والله لو جلست عند غيرك من أهل الدنيا لرأيت أني سأخرج من سخطه بعذر. Now Ka'b is going to be really honest. So he says, O Messenger of Allah. He says, Wallah. Watch how many times he will say Wallahi in this discussion of his. He says, Wallahi, if I was sitting before any person from among the people of this dunya other than you, I would have avoided his anger with an excuse. Very easy. So he says, by Allah, he says again, Wallahi, I have been given a gift. And this gift is the power of speaking fluently and eloquently. وَلَقَدْ أُوتِيتُ جَدَلًا. This is something that يعني كعب رضي الله عنه was special about. He was a very eloquent speaker. He was a poet. Remember, يعني we said that two lines of poetry was the reason for why an entire qabila, an entire tribe of those accepted Islam. Ka'b was very eloquent. His speech was like a sword, right? He could make what's a lie sound so true and convince you about it. And he's being honest. And he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I was sitting before anyone other than you, I would have got myself very easily out of this with an excuse. And the reason is Allah has given me this gift. Well, subhanallah, you need to understand something. Why is Ka'b radiallahu anhu saying this? Ka'b radiallahu anhu is teaching us that beware. Do not use your skill in the disobedience of Allah and His Messenger. Don't you dare do that. Maybe you can use your skill to cheat and deceive the people, which is bad, and that's not from the character of a Muslim. But don't you dare to ever think to use your skill in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he backs away from that. And he doesn't even think about speaking a word of lie. Then no, essentially, if I do this, I'm going to lie against Allah and His Messenger. I'll put myself in deep trouble. Just like you'll see what happened to the munafiqun that spoke the lie. So he, Ka'b radiallahu anhu, is teaching us, do not use the skills and the gifts that Allah has given you in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't you dare do that. That is exactly what will make you fall, and you'll just keep falling, and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be lost. So Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he continues and he says, وَلَكِنِّي وَاللَّهِ. Again, Wallahi. لقد علمت لئن حدثتك اليوم حديث كذب ترضى به عني ليشكن الله أن يسقطك علي ولئن حدثتك حديث صدق تجد علي فيه إني لأرجو فيه عقبى من الله. He said, by Allah, Ya Rasulullah, I know very well, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if I today was to speak and say a lie to seek your acceptance and your pleasure, I surely know that Allah Azza wa Jal will make you angry about me in the future when He'll reveal an ayah exposing me. But if I tell the truth, even though you might be angry with me, I hope that I would earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness in the near future. And so, يعني, radiallahu anhu, Ka'b is teaching us, what is the difference between a hypocrite and a believer? يعني, you see the difference, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that the hypocrite, he looks for a solution right now. How am I going to save myself now in this worldly life? Well, the believer doesn't care about this. The believer, he looks for a solution for his hereafter. How is he going to save himself in the future when he stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Ka'b radiallahu anhu is telling us, I can lie and I can get away with it. But if that's the case, I might earn your happiness now and Allah azza wa jal will expose me later on. So I'd rather earn your anger upon me, but later on in the future, I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me. Shuf, this is how the believer thinks. He doesn't care about his image before the people. He cares about his image before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, this is Ka'b before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine you're standing before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know? So he doesn't care about his image before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if it's going to anger Allah azza wa jal. He's concerned about his image before Allah, before anything else. We need to understand this. How many times, yani, for example now, if let's say a sheikh caught you doing something wrong, you're embarrassed and you want to explain yourself and give an excuse and 1,000 reasons for why you did what you did. Why? Now we have companions, he before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they wouldn't dare to seek his approval if it's going to earn them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger. Understand, this is the difference between a hypocrite and a believer. You need to be honest and be honest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For he says this, Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he mentions this about himself. And he says, to be honest, let me be honest now. And he says, by Allah, once again he says, Wallahi, ma kuntu qattu aqwa wala aysara minni hina takhallaftu ank. So he gave that introduction of his, and he says, by Allah, really, the truth is, I have never been stronger or wealthier than when I remained behind. Yani, I had no excuse at all. And I feel like these words of Ka'b radiallahu anhu, it's like he dropped the bomb, and yalla, whatever happens, happens, I really don't care right now. But I gave the truth and I said it, it was difficult. After a fight with the shaitan, should I lie, should I not lie? I dropped the as-sadaq, the truth, and yalla, whatever happens now, I'm going to cop its consequence. And look, notice, there's nothing with his words that say, walakin, however, wait, I got something. No more walakin, khalas. Excuses are gone, that was the last word he said. And he said, that's it, he had admitted and acknowledged his sin. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَمَّا هَذَا فَقَدْ صَدَقْ. He pointed to Ka'b and he said, as for this man, he surely spoke the truth. Yet in other words, he's the first one who spoke the truth. Everyone else that came before him, they all lied, all munafiqun. He's the first one to speak the truth. So he says, فَقُمْ حَتَّى يَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ فِيكْ. Get up, Ka'b, and go until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides in your case. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges your case. I can't make istighfar for you. Because I don't know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to this, yani, honesty that you said and this sin of yours. So I really can't say anything. We need to wait until some wahi comes down, if any wahi comes down. And let's see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge in your case. Now, what is going to happen to Ka'b radiallahu anhu from now on until the end is something that Ka'b never expected himself. And the companions never expected this kind of treatment will ever happen to Ka'b radiallahu anhu. And what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will do to Ka'b is not just teaching Ka'b a lesson. He's teaching the entire ummah a lesson, what deen to a person should need. Everything that's going to happen to Ka'b is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaching the ummah how serious your deen is supposed to be. How serious you're supposed to be to your commitment and steadfastness on Islam. What does it mean that the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are a red line that you and I can never ever cross? And what does it mean that we're supposed to give victory to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This punishment here is going to teach you exactly what a deen means for a believer. فَقُمْتُ وَثَارَ رِجَالٌ مِّن بَنِي سَلَمَةَ فَتَبِعُونَنِي. So, khalas, that's it. Ka'b radiallahu anhu got up and he began to walk. Look, he's going back home. So a couple of men from the tribe of Bani Salama, this is his tribe, they followed him. And they said to him, Ya Ka'b, by Allah, we never witnessed any doing of any sin that you ever did. We never saw you do any sin. Surely you failed to give an excuse to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the others went and gave an excuse. It would have been enough for you to put any excuse before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it would have been enough that you earned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's forgiveness. Do you want anything more than that? You would have earned his forgiveness, and as a result, you would have saved yourself an entire embarrassment. Yani, it's kind of, they're saying to him like, look at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he came back a champion. Umar radiallahu anhu came back a champion. Uthman radiallahu anhu came back a hero. Wa Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, Abu Khaythama, he went late and he came back a warrior. And you're going to embarrass yourself this easily before all these people that you look up to, and they're your friends as well. Why didn't you make an excuse? This is what they're saying to him. Why didn't you make an excuse? Enough. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have asked Allah to forgive you. So Ka'b said, for Allah, ما زالوا يؤنبونني حتى أردت أن أرجع إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأكذب نفسي. He said, by Allah, they continued to blame me and blame me and blame me so much that I almost intended to return to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and accuse myself of having told a lie. يعني يا رسول الله, sorry, I was lying. Really, really, this was the reason. And give him any kind of excuse. He was about to do this. But I said to them, as they're walking with him, he said to them, these people of Bani Salama that followed him, he said to them, هَلْ لَقِيَ هَذَا مَعِي مِنْ أَحَدٍ. He said to them, is there anyone who met the same fate as I? I walked out of the masjid and there were people that came after me. People that came after me, did anyone meet the same fate as I? Did anyone speak the truth when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to them, go until Allah reveals a verdict in you? So they said, yes. So I asked them, Ka'ab said, who are they? Who spoke like me? For they said, Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he says, فَذَكَرُوا لِي رَجُلَيْنِ صَالِحَيْنِ قَدْ شَهِدَا بَدْرًا. So they mentioned to me two people who were Murar ibn al-Rabi' and Hilal ibn Umayyah radiallahu anhuma. They mentioned these two people. These two people were the same case as Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. They had no excuse. They were able to leave, but they did not leave. And they spoke the truth to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to both of them, get up and go until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals something in your case. Then Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he says, they mentioned two pious, righteous people to me who had attended the battle of Badr. They were there at the battle of Badr. So why is Ka'ab radiallahu anhu saying this? And he's saying that these two people I looked up to, they were my examples, they were role models I looked up to. So Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he says, I did not change my mind when they mentioned that to me. Khalas, as long as I have someone in my company, I will not change my mind. What Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is teaching us two things here. Number one, when he mentions about these two, that they were from the battle of Badr, he's teaching us something. That don't ever feel safe that you'll never ever fall into a major sin or lose your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't ever feel safe about that. Why? Because the people of Badr, do you know who the people of Badr were? And Allah in the Quran declared them mu'minun. These are the people of Badr, right? Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal referred to the companions of the Battle of Badr. He referred to them as mu'mineen. Imagine this. Allah declaring him and declaring them mu'mineen. Add on top of this, Allah Azza wa Jal declares and he verifies their sincerity. When Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ آيَةٌ فِي فِئَتَيْنِ الْتَقَتَ فِئَةٌ تُقَاتِلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The believing group, the believing tribe, included with the Prophet ﷺ, those who fought the disbelievers on the day of Badr, Allah Azza wa Jal declared them, one, mu'mineen, believers. Number two, he declared them, fi sabilillah, that they fought in the path of Allah. In other words, that's a sincere kind of fighting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared their sincerity in the Quran. What better do you want? And above this, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says about the people of Badr, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اطَّلَعَ عَلَى أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اعْمَلُوا فَمَا شِئْتُمْ فَقَدْ وَجَبَتْ لَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. There's a narration in when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, what would you know? That perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal had looked and overseen the case of the people of Badr and has said to them, do whatever you want. You people are already guaranteed the paradise. And in another narration, قَدْ غُفِرَتْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ. That do whatever you want. Allah Azza wa Jal has already forgiven your sins. This is the virtue of the people of Badr. So Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is telling us, even though these people were from the people of Badr, and they were mu'mineen, and they were sincere, declared this by Allah Azza wa Jal, and their sins have been forgiven, and they are guaranteed the paradise, they fell into a major sin. So after that, who's going to feel safe from the major sins and that he'll never fall into them? And understand that this is coming towards the end of the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they're believers now for almost 20 years, almost 23 years, they have accepted Islam and they still fell, the sahaba. So never ever feel safe about yourself not falling into sins. Then Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he says, so I did not change my mind after they mentioned to me these two honorable people. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is teaching us here that when you make a decision concerning your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't listen to anyone after that, as much pressure as there is. There was a lot of pressure on him to go back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and change his mind. But khalas, once you've made a decision for Allah, don't change it for anyone. When Allah Azza wa Jal praises men, he says, وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. They will never change and they will never alter their path. So long as you've made a correct decision concerning your relationship with Allah, if the entire world is convincing you to go otherwise, do not listen to anyone like what Ka'ab radiallahu anhu did. So now Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he continues and he says, وَنَهَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ عَنْ كَلَامِنَا أَيُّهَا الثَّلَاثَةَ مِنْ بَيْنِ مَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهُ. He says, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now all of a sudden, he announces, this is a public announcement, no one is allowed to speak with these three Sahaba. That's it. No one is allowed to speak to them. Boycott from speech, from salam, parents, children, whoever it is in the society, no one is allowed to speak to these three people. Now, this will go on for 50 days. But Ka'ab and his two friends don't know that it's going to go on for 50 days, which makes it even more difficult. And al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they mention, why 50 days? They were boycotted by the Muslim community for 50 days, not allowed to speak to any single one of them. Why 50 days? Then this is approximately the time it took for the entire Sahaba to get to Tabuk and to sit there and to come back. Approximately 50 days. So in other words, the punishment is equal to the sin itself. And why boycott them from speech? Because when they three decided not to join the believers in Tabuk, this entire period, they had isolated themselves from the believers. So they did not speak to the believers for over that entire time. So now their punishment is coming equal to their crime and to their sin. No one is allowed to speak to them for 50 days, just like they did not join and did not speak to us for 50 days. Subhanallah. See the justice of Allah Azza wa Jal when He deals with the sins of people. So this is the sin and this is the consequence that they are going to face. But understand, look how powerful this community and how powerful this society is. And look how obedient they are. Each and every single one of them would now boycott them even though they were friends with them. And no one would, yani, ever speak to them again. Nahna subhanallah, when Karuz were drawn against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we, they spread the news and they told the people, boycott the countries and boycott Denmark and boycott these countries that insulted the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 70% of the Muslim world didn't even listen to that. Yani, you can understand how powerful Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's society was. One word and everyone would listen. Subhanallah, this is where the success was, right? When we tell people, do not share this stuff and do not watch these pathetic documentaries and do not watch these insults that they talk about the Muslims, don't watch these programs. What do you find? You find that the Muslims are the ones that promote it more than anyone else. يعني, subhanallah, understand that the true heroes in all of this story were the society that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. Was the society that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nurtured. That one word, that's it. It would create a storm in Al-Madina. Don't speak to them. Khalas, we're not speaking to them. And this went on for the next 50 days. Now, you need to understand something, my brothers and sisters in Islam. That before this, Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he told us about the reasons for why he fell into the sin. Now Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is going to tell us about the reasons for why he remained firm on his iman, even though this is how he was treated. So Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he says, فَأَمَّا صَاحِبَايَ فَاسْتَنْكَرَا وَقَعَدَا فِي بُيُوتِهِمَا يَبْكِيَانَ. As for my two friends, he said, what happened to them was that they began to cry and tear the entire time, and they stayed in their house and they did not leave. And he says, since I was the youngest of the three, and I was the strongest of the three, he said, I used to go out and I would attend the congregational prayers along with the Muslims, and I would roam around and about in the markets, but no one would talk to me. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, now he's teaching us the reasons for why he remained firm. Now before this, I told you, he spoke to us the reasons for why he fell, right? In where he became lazy and tomorrow I'll go. And these were the reasons for why he fell in the sin. Now he's telling us the reasons for why he remained firm. Number one is that he admitted his sin. He was honest about it before the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ultimately, he's honest about his sin before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, and this is very important, he did not isolate himself. So he said, فَكُنْتُ أَخْرُجُ فَأَشْهَدُ الصَّلَاةِ. I used to leave the house and I used to attend the congregational prayer with the believers. Even though they had boycotted him. And they don't want to see his face. This is, at the end of the day, the believers are his family. Where is he going to go? So he would show and he would be present. Now, why do I mention this as a point? Because we have some people, when they fall into the sin, they feel embarrassed about themselves. And as a result, what happens? Bit by bit, they don't want their face to be seen before anyone. They stop attending the masjid. Why? Wallah, because I did a sin and I don't want to be seen in front. I don't want to see anyone anymore. That's it. No, you need to understand that if you don't rush towards your Muslim family, even though you've committed major sins like Ka'b, then you've left yourself exposed for the shaitan, and you'll never wake up after this. You'll never even think of repenting after it. For you need to be careful when you fall into the sin, and when you realize your iman is going down. You've shaven your beard, for example, let's say after 10 years. Yeah, now I shaved my, I don't want to be seen among the rows of the believers. Khalas, let me leave the masjid altogether. Why? Well, Ka'ab radiallahu anhu did worse than that. And he's being treated with a response in where the entire Muslim community is told, abandon him, boycott him. But even then, it doesn't give you a reason not to do the obligations that Allah wants from you. Your reason, how you're going to revive and climb back up in your iman, is by remaining with the companion of the believers. So Ka'ab radiallahu anhu teaches us this very important lesson. He's teaching us now the reasons for his rise. And how did he live and manage all this? And how did he re-pick his iman up after this dealing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with him? That he would attend the masjid after that, and he did not isolate himself. وَآتِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَأُسَلِّمُ عَلَيْهِ وَهُوَ فِي مَجْلِسِهِ بَعْضَ الصَّلَاةِ. He said, and I would walk into the masjid, I would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I would greet him as he sat among his people after his salat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would finish his salat, and he'll sit facing his companions, wanting to give them some lecture, some advice, some hadith. So, Ka'ab, he says, I would walk in and I'd say, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Then Ka'ab, he says to us, and I would wonder whether the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved his lips in return to my greeting or not. Yani he did not say anything, but I don't even know if he just said, As-salam. Or even if he responded, I'd look, yani, this is a severe boycott. Imagine this happening. SubhanAllah, if one person boycotted you, you become worried. Imagine here, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the entire community of believers, in a matter of one commandment, have now boycotted you and everyone turned his away from you. Even salam, which is wajib, no one is responding back to you. So then Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he says, then I would offer my prayer near the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on purpose. And I would look at him stealthily, back like that, kind of trying to look at him. And he says, radiyallahu anhu, when I began the prayer, he would turn his face towards me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would look at him when Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu is praying. Hada yani, the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not upset, he's not angry with him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam loves him, but he wants to teach him a lesson. That what you did was very, very wrong. And if that's the example you're going to set for the future generation, then they're all going to get lost. You need to pay a really good price for this. And it needs to be documented in the word of Allah Azza wa Jal, so that people that come after you don't look at your sin and say, oh, look how he got rid of it and away from it easily. I can leave the obligations very easily. There's a big problem here. You leave one obligation, look how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam treated and dealt with it. So he said, when I begin my prayer, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would look at me. And when I would cast a glance at him in salat, he would look at him and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would turn away. Can you imagine when you're teaching someone a lesson and then he's praying, you look at him. And then when he looks at you, you turn your face away from him. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching him a lesson. He's teaching him a lesson at the same time. This is the rahmah, the mercy of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ, as Allah Azza wa Jal describes him. Always concerned for the affairs of the believers. And بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ, very merciful towards the believers. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, in another narration, he mentions that something during this time really, really worried me and bothered me. And that was the fact that if I die, would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam pray upon me? Would the believers wash me? Are they going to bury me a proper burial? Look, all of this because of one obligation he left. And he said, then the other thing that worried me is, what if he dies before me? How are the believers after that going to react? And would anyone ever speak to me after this? What is going to happen? What is my position in the community going to be? فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, what's going through. See this stress and this worry and this depression and anxiety, and he cannot sleep the nights. All of this is the consequence of the sin. All of this is a consequence of a sin. فَرَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, he says, حَتَّى إِذَا طَالَ ذَلِكَ عَلَيَّ مِنْ جَفْوَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مَشِيتُ حَتَّى تَصَوَّرْتُ جِدَارَ حَائِطِ أَبِي قَتَادَ. He says, until a while went by with this harsh treatment of the Muslims towards me, I was walking one day until I reached the house of Abu Qatada. Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu is the cousin of Ka'b, and he's the most dearest friend to Ka'b radiallahu anhu. He says, I climbed the wall of Ka'b of Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu. Kind of, he knocked on his door, but Abu Qatada did not open. So he just forced himself to climb, scale the wall of Abu Qatada's house, and he jumped into his house this way. And he said, and I offered him my greetings. I said, Assalamu alaikum Abu Qatada. Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he says, by Allah, he did not return my greeting. He did not say, wa alaikum assalam. Subhanallah. Yani, look at the obedience and the love that the companions had for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Boycott? Khalas, boycott. Cousin, friend, doesn't matter. We boycott now. We need to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, Ka'b radiallahu anhu, now he's in the house of Abu Qatada. And he said to him, ya Abu Qatada, anshuduka Allah, hal ta'lamanna anni uhibbu Allah wa rasulah? He says, oh Abu Qatada, please, I ask you by Allah, do you know from me that I love Allah and His Messenger? Yani, please give me some direction. Someone, can someone verify my iman that I actually love Allah and His Messenger? فَلَمْ يَرُدَّ عَلَيْهِ He did not answer him. خلاص, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, don't talk, yani, not a single word I'm going to give you. So he asked him again, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ أَنِّي أُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ I ask you by Allah, do you know from me that I love Allah and His Messenger? He did not respond the third time. He asked him a third time. Abu Qatada, in the third time, he said to him, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger know best if you really love them or not. Yani, what does he know these words? Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Yani, Ka'b radiallahu anhu, now he feels that he's been accused in his deen. He's been accused in his iman. That no one is sure if I love Allah and His Messenger. Even my best friend and my cousin cannot even verify this for me. فَكَعْبْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ He says, فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَيْ He began to cry, run right there and then. He began to tear and cry, بَكَى بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ He said, وَتَوَلَّيْتُ حَتَّى تَسَوَّرْتُ الْجِدَارِ He said, and I turned away, listen to what he said, I scaled the wall once again. Yani, it's like Abu Qatada رضي الله عنه didn't even open the door to let him out. The same way you came in is the same way you're going to go out. Well, I'd even open the door for you. Well, as-salam or nothing, just get out. And radiallahu anhu, he climbs the wall once again, and he leaves the house of Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu. He says, فَبَيْنَمَا أَنَا أَمْشِي فِي سُوقِ الْمَدِينَةِ Now, this is one day, he's walking. This is all during this period of 50 days. Now, about 30, 35 days have gone by. And he says, as I am walking in the marketplace of al-Madinah, إِذَا نَبْطِيٌ مِن نَبْطِ أَهْلِ الشَّامِ مِمَّنْ قَدِمَ بِالطَّعَامِ يَبِيعُهُ بِالْمَدِينَةِ As I'm walking, I suddenly saw a Nabti. A Nabti is a Christian farmer. These people, they used to come from Syria, from Asham, and they used to come to Medina, and they used to sell grain and food, and يعني, staple food, right? Grain, corn, rice, and so on. They used to sell it in Al-Madina. So this man, this Nabti, he came, he's selling his grains in Al-Madina. يقول من يدلني على كعب بن مالك and this Nabti is walking around in Medina and he's saying who can direct me to where Ka'b is I got something where's Ka'b فطفق الناس يشيرون له إلي حتى جاءني so the people began to say hey, this is Ka'b there this one the other one you're asking for him he's there over there until this Nabti came straight to Ka'b رضي الله عنه فدفع إلي كتابا من ملك غسان وكنت كاتبا فقرأته And he gave me a letter. And this letter was from the King Ghassan. The King Ghassan, you need to understand that he's a Roman king. Well, King Ghassan, he was the biggest enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's because of this King Ghassan that Ghazwat Mu'tah occurred. Ghazwat Mu'tah was a battle between 3,000 believers and 200,000 of the Romans. It was a huge battle. Ghazwat Mu'tah is a kind of a crazy war that happened. How Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu ended up being the leader and how he took the army of the believers in a safe direction. It's an amazing battle. But this is who Ghassan is. He was the Roman king, the biggest enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he do? He wrote a letter and he sent it with this Christian farmer and he said, go and give it to Ka'b ibn Malik. So Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he says, since I was a writer, I opened it and I read this letter, which the following was written in. He opens the letter. فَإِنْ أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ بَلَغَنَا أَنَّ صَاحِبَكَ قَدْ جَفَاكَ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْكَ اللَّهُ بِدَارِ هَوَانٍ وَلَا مَضْيَعَهُ فَأَلْحِقْ بِنَا نُوَاسِيكَ He opened the letter And the letter says, as to what follows, to proceed. I, Al-Malik Ghassan, have been informed that your friend, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the companions, they have treated you in a really harsh manner. Anyhow, Allah Azza wa Jal has not created you for a place where you are to be degraded and dishonored and where your rights are lost. So come to us and we shall receive you graciously. We'll take care of you. Come to us. So Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he says, فَقُلْتُ حِينَ قَرَأْتُهَا وَهَذَا أَيْضًا مِنَ الْبَلَاءِ. He said, this is also from the test, and this is also from the hardship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting me through. This is from the difficulty that Allah azza wa jal is putting me through these 50 days here. Now subhanallah, Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he says, فَتَيَمَّمْتُ بِهَا التَّنُّورِ فَزَشَّرْتُهَا بِهَا. So he said, I took this letter and I went to the oven. A tanur is an oven where they bake the bread. And he said, I threw this letter in there and I seen it burn. I burnt the letter. Now, Ka'b radiallahu anhu teaching us something very important. He burnt this letter. You need to understand that he burnt this letter because it was a fitna for him. This letter is like a $1 million voucher. This is your escape route. If things become really tough here, just run out, walk with it. And the king of Ghassan, a great empire at the time, is willing to receive you graciously. It's very tempting, this offer here. So he burns it and he gets rid of it. And you know, Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he feels like this letter is going to be the reason, if he accepts it, it is going to be the reason for why he will become a munafiq. It's like Al-Malik Ghassan wants to use Ka'b as the knife to stab Islam. That's exactly what they wanted to do. So he disregards it altogether. You see Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he didn't go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, Rasulullah, look at this offer. You better fix up the treatment or I run away. He didn't say that radiallahu anhu. He understood this is part of how Allah is cleansing him from the sin. And you need to cop it so you can be cleansed properly from your sin. Admit and acknowledge and accept the kind of punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bestowing upon you. And the same, when you fall into a sin, into a major sin, when you leave an obligation and you feel this depression and you feel these fitan that Allah azza wa jal will send by you, see them as a way and a form in how Allah azza wa jal is cleansing you from your sin. So Ka'b radiallahu anhu, nor did he look at the letter and say, well, it sounds like a good deal. They did not say to me, leave your deen. They're just saying, look, stay with your deen, but just come and we'll treat you in a better way. So, to avoid waswasa to shaitan altogether, he removed it. Ka'b radiallahu anhu is teaching us something when he burns the letter. He's teaching us, respect your weakness. Know what your weakness is and respect it. Don't stand before the fitna thinking like, khalas, and I can deal with this. I'll get this letter and keep it in my back pocket and later on, I know I won't do anything with it, but just in case, don't do that. Realize what your fitna is, recognize what it is. And as soon as you see it, get rid of it. This is why we need to understand something. Ka'b radiallahu anhu now, there's good companion. A sahaba, a good companionship of his. This is how they're dealing with him. And on the other side of the screen, there is the bad companions, which is Ghassan, and the doors are open. And you need to make your decision. It looks very tempting to go towards this way, but you need to cut all that. You need to find what your weakness is. What is the thing that always drags you and pulls you back into the sin? What is it? Your phone? Is it your friends? What is it? And as soon as you recognize and identify what it is, cut it right then and there, and don't allow it to get into your life. Burn it. If it's a SIM card, right? In where someone has contact with you, a bad kind of companionship, a girl that you knew but haram, and you're trying to get rid of this fitna, and you've got the phone, the number saved in the fakhalas, I know how to deal with it, I won't answer, I will block the calls, don't do that. Delete altogether. Throw the SIM card if you have to. Do something. You need to respond to the fitna that stands before you and identify, recognize your weakness. So this is what Ka'b radiallahu anhu is teaching us. So then Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he says, حَتَّى إِذَا مَضَتْ أَرْبَعُونَ مِنَ الْخَمْسِينَ, until 40 days passed. Now we're on the 40th day. He said, وَاسْتَلْبَثَ الْوَحْيُ, and the wahy hasn't come down yet for 40 days. إِذَا رَسُولُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَأْتِينِ. All of a sudden, a messenger sent by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to my house. And he knocks the door. Ka'b radiallahu anhu think, Alhamdulillah, he's the, finally, Yani, that's it. Some relief has come. Now, he opens the door for him. And this messenger on the door, he says to him, Inna Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ya'muruka an tasta'tazila ma'atak. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered you to keep away from wife. This is after 40 days. It's added another consequence of the sins. Yani, you can feel exactly what Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is experiencing right now. For Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is shocked. He said to him, yani, what do you mean? Should I divorce her or not? The words are unclear. So the companion, radiallahu anhu, he says to him, keep away in terms of sexual contact. That's what you're supposed to keep away from. But this is indefinite. We don't know how long this is going to go. Already 40 days, the entire Medina has boycotted him. Now, add to this, his family, his wife especially, has been told to stay away from him. So Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also sent the same message to my two friends. And then Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he said to his wife, إِلْحَقِي بِأَهْلِكِ فَكُونِي عِنْدَهُمْ حَتَّى يَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ فِي أَمْرِي هَذَا. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to, so Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he said to his wife, go to your parents. Leave the house, go to your parents, and remain with them until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solves my case, until something comes down. So, قال فجاءت امرأة هلال بن أمية. The wife of Hilal ibn Umayyah, she went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, Ya Rasulullah, Hilal, my husband, is a helpless old man, and he doesn't have a servant to help him. Do you give me permission that I remain at home and serve him? For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, no problems. Stay at home and serve your husband, but do not come in contact with him sexually. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, by Allah, he has no desire for anything. By Allah, he has been crying since the calamity struck him from the day you commanded the entire Medina to boycott them. So he doesn't have any desire in this. So Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he says that some of my family members came to me and they said to me, why don't you seek permission? Like Hilal ibn Umayyah sought permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that your wife can remain with you and serve you. So he said, by Allah, I will not ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for permission, for I do not know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say to me since I'm a strong young man. This is different to Hilal ibn Umayyah, was an old helpless man. He needed someone to help him. So he said, I refrained and I did not ask for permission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ فَلَبِثْتُ ذَلِكَ عَشْرَ لَيَالِي فَكَمُلَ لَنَا خَمْسِينَ لَيْلَةً مِنْ حِينَ نُهِينَ عَنِ الْكَلَامِ. So Ka'ab radiallahu anhu said, this went on for another 10 days. And it completed 50 days from the day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded Al-Madinah to boycott them in speech. Now, 50 days have gone by. Another narration, it mentions that, just to continue the story, on the 50th night, during that night, al-hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, it says, وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ تَوْبَتَهُ وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ تَوْبَتَنَا عَلَى نَبِيِّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم حِينَ بَقِيَ ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم عند أُمِّ سَلَمَةِ. On the 50th day, and it was the last third of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the tawbah of Ka'ab radiallahu anhu unto Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time, he was in the house of Salama radiallahu anha, the mother of the believers, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa Salama muhassinatun fi sha'ni mu'taniyatun bi amri. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu says, and Salama, from among the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Salama was very, very concerned in my case. She was following it up really well. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أم سلمة تيب على كعب بن مالك. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني, when he is revealed onto, when he receives wahi, he gets into a kind of a state where he begins to sweat and he becomes really heavy and no one is able to speak to him. He's receiving the wahi. So once he woke up and he has received the wahi, he's with Salama, he said, يا أم سلمة تيب على كعب بن مالك. That Ka'ab radiallahu anhu's repentance has been accepted. So Salama radiallahu anha, she said, أَفَلَا أُرْسِلُ إِلَيْهِ فَأُبَشِّرُهُ. She got excited. She said, Ya Rasulullah, can I send someone to him right now to inform him and congratulate him of the news? For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. إِذَنْ يَحْطِمُوكُمُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْنَعُوكُمُ النَّوْمَ سَائِرَ اللَّيْلِ. Don't do that. Because if you do that now, The entire city is going to celebrate, and as a result, no one will be able to sleep the night. Understand, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to be happy for each other. They used to celebrate these occasions. So he said to her, leave it. Don't inform anyone now. I'll inform him at Salat al-Fajr. So Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he said, ثُمَّ صَلَّيْتُ صَلَاةَ الْفَجْرِ صَبَاحَ خَمْسِينَ لَيْلَةً عَلَى ظَهْرِ بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِنَا. خلاص, it's the 50th day. Now Ka'ab radiallahu anhu has really left the masjid. He is not praying there anymore. He used to pray inside his house in the last few days of the boycott. Even the house has become difficult and so worrying and depressing for him that he says on the morning of the 51st day, in the morning at Salat al-Fajr, I prayed Salat al-Fajr on the roof of a house of ours. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, wealthy man. So on the roof of a house of his, he began, where's he going to go? He's going to lose his mind now. So he says, فَبَيْنَمَا أَنَا جَالِسٌ عَلَى الْحَالِ. After Salat, he sat down. حَتَّى ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنَّا, يعني حَتَّى ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ حَالَتَنَا قَدْ ضَاقَتْ عَلَيَّ نَفْسِي وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيَّ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. And he says, and I'm sitting, and my state, my condition is exactly how Allah describes it in the Quran. He's referring to the ayat in where Allah Azza wa Jal says, حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ. Until their nafs, their selves has become like a cage onto them. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. And the earth, considering its vastness, has become so constricted and it has become like a cage upon them. You know, yani, sometimes when you're feeling caged from the inside, you walk out, have a deep fresh air, and you might feel a bit relieved. Here Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is saying, when we were inside the house, we're feeling that it's like we're caged from the depression and the worry. And even when we walked outside, as vast as the land is, we still felt caged and restricted. And khalas, we're about to explode. We can't hold this anymore. So he says, and this was exactly my situation as I was sitting on the roof of my house, just like how Allah described it. فَسَمِعْتُ صَوْتَ صَارِخٍ أَوْفَى عَلَى جَبَلِ سِلْعٍ يَقُولُ بِأَعْلَى صَوْتِهِ يَا كَعْبَ بْنَ مَالِكَ أَبْشِرْ. He says, and as I'm sitting there, I heard an announcement being made from Jabal Sila. Jabal Sila is a mountain in Medina that anyone that had an important announcement to make, he would go on the mountain and he would scream it. So someone, yani Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in Salat al-Fajr, he recited these ayat. Imagine this. This is the first time these ayat are recited. Then in Quran, not like today, we can read, we read, and we read over and over again. Always, it's the same ayat that we have. But at that time, these are the first time in history that these ayat are recited. Well, Sahaba are alert. After Salat al-Fajr, they heard the announcement. And yani, instead of sitting down with dhikr, wajalsat al-duha, and so on, they all left. And one of them ran until he reached the mountain of Sila. And he screams from there, Ya Ka'ab ibn Malik, abshir! He says, congratulations, O Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. So Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he says, فَخَرَرْتُ سَاجِدًا وَعَرَفْتُ أَنَّهُ قَدْ جَاءَ الْفَرَجِ. Right then and there, I fell into sujood. The sajda to shukr, the sujood of thankfulness. He went into sajda and he said, I realized and I had recognized that finally relief has come and has arrived. Subhanallah. So Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, now he's sitting on top of his house. He's received the good news. قال فآذن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بتوبة الله علينا حين صلى صلاة الفجر فذهب الناس يبشروننا فذهب قبلي صاحباي مبشرون وركض رجل إلى فرس وسعى ساع من أسلم. He said, and the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم announced to the people of our tawbah and that Allah had accepted it. And he said, so the people, they went out to congratulate us. Some of them went to my two friends. And he says, and others came to me to give me the good news. And a man that was on a horse came rushing to me to give me the good news. And also a man from the tribe of Aslam came rushing towards me to also give me the good news. And he says, it was the man that came running to me that gave me the good news from the mountain. Yani I heard it from him first, before the horseman. So Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he said, yani, this is Eid. Allah Azza wa Jalla accepted the tawbah of three men. The entire city is celebrating. SubhanAllah, today if someone repents, you know, and someone يعني, finally is guided once again, we don't give them the same treatment. But this is how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the entire ummah and the community, this is how they used to deal with one person that was guided once again and his tawbah is accepted. So he said, radiyallahu anhu, when the man that I heard his voice first approached and he conveyed the good news to me, I took off my garment. I took off my garment and I dressed him with it. I gave it to him as a gift. And he said, by Allah, I did not own any other garment other than the one I had. So then he said, he quickly went to his neighbor and he borrowed two pairs of garments and he wore them. And now he's going to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's still sitting in the masjid. And he said, and as I'm walking to Masjid al-Nabawi, the people, they started receiving me in batches and they were congratulating me on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's acceptance of my tawbah. And they were saying, لِتَهْنِكَ تَوْبَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. Congratulations of the tawbah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. He said, until I entered the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting among the sahaba, خلاص, he can't wait to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and make eye contact with him once again after 50 days have gone by. So he says, Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiyallahu anhu was the only man that got up and he rushed to me and he shook my hands and he congratulated me. And Ka'b radiyallahu anhu, he says, by Allah, none of the muhajirun got up and congratulated me other than Talha, and I will not forget this for Talha radiyallahu anhu. And no, as-suhbah here is good companionship. When your friend receives good news, as a true friend of his, you get up and you share the news with him and you congratulate him on that. And if someone gives you good news, a sunnah to give him a gift, like what Ka'b radiyallahu anhu did to that man. So Ka'b radiyallahu anhu, he added, he said, I approached the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, when I greeted the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to me, but look what he said, Ka'b radiallahu anhu. He said, قال وهو يبرق وجهه من السرور. He said, while his face was beaming with joy and happiness. He's describing in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's face. Just like when he described it there, when I got to him, تبسم المغضب, he smiled the smile of an angry person. That's when he did a sin. Now that Allah has accepted his tawbah, he said, وَجْهُهُ يَبْرُقُ سُرُورًا وَفَرَحًا. His face is beaming, it's shining with joy and happiness. يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is his joy with the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. He says, and he said to me, أَبْشِرْ بِخَيْرِ يَوْمٍ مَرَّ عَلَيْكَ مُنْذُ وَلَدَتْكَ أُمُّكَ. Big words. He said to him, congratulations, Ya Ka'b, on the best day you have seen since your mother gave birth to you. The best day. You know, the people, if you ask them, what's the best day in your life? Oh, the day I got married. Some, what's the best day in your life? Allah, the day I graduated from school. Some, Allah, the best day is when I earned a job, when I bought my first car. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is teaching us that the best day in your life is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts you and guides you. Is the day that he accepts your tawbah. So he says to Ka'b radiallahu anhu, everything you've achieved in life could be good and great for you. But the greatest day ever since your mother gave birth to you is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted your tawbah. Right? For we need to understand this meaning, my brothers and sisters in Islam. لأنه the day that you make the tawbah, and the day that Allah accepts your tawbah, it draws you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what better day in your life than a day you're drawn closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال فقلت أمن عندك يا رسول الله أم من عند الله. So Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he says, Ya Rasulullah, is this accepted tawbah from you or from Allah? He wants to know, where is it coming from? فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says to him, لا بل من عند الله, it's not from me, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Ka'b radiallahu anhu, look what he says, وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سر استنار وجهه كأن وجهه قطعة قمر. He says that يعني, and it was very common when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he was happy, his face would shine and it would glow as though it's the piece of the moon. And we knew this from his characteristic. You know what that means? It means Ka'b radiallahu anhu, He's narrating this story many years after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you kind of feel like in his words that they missed the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's narrating his story to his children, and he's narrating to At-Tabi'un, and it's kind of he's reminding himself of the old days and how they used to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how he used to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam react when he used to have news of joy and happiness to share with the people. So you can just imagine a moment in where Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is narrating his story, and he's looking up and he's describing the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His face used to beam like the full moon when he used to give us joy, happiness, news of joy and happiness. فَصَلَّى عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Then Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he said, فَلَمَّا جَلَسْتُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ مِنْ تَوْبَتِي أَنْ أَخْلِعَ مِنْ مَالِي صَدَقَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِلَى رَسُولِهِ. Now he says, O Messenger of Allah, because of the acceptance of my tawbah, because my tawbah has been accepted, as a result, I'm going to give up all my wealth fi sabilillah. All of it is for Allah and His Messenger. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is teaching us that a tawbah is not just a few emotions you carry in your heart and a few words you say. A tawbah, my brothers and sisters, is actually action that you do. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, he says, وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. That when you do a bad deed, follow it up with a good deed. And so this is exactly what Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is doing. He's following up the bad deed with a good deed. And his good deed is that he wants to give all his wealth as a charity fi sabilillah. All of it fi sabilillah. You know what we learn from this is that sometimes today, when someone has low iman, fallen into sins and sin after sin, and he can't find his iman anymore, can't find his relationship with Allah, can't find his heart anymore, he begins to complain, and ana wallahi, what will increase my iman? I don't know, what can I do? Guide me to something, please, advise me, tell me something. Yaqi, do something. Read Quran, pray a salat, give a sadaqah. Do something good and you'll find your iman straight away. Just like Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he was going down. And the treatment that he was going even more down. Now that Allah has accepted his tawbah, he's made the tawbah, follow it up with a good deed. And his good deed is something very special. And that is that he wants to give all his wealth fi sabilillah. Why? Why is he giving his wealth? Understand this. He's teaching us that in order to have an accurate tawbah, you need to identify the reason for your sin and give it up. The reason for the sin of Ka'ab radiallahu anhu was what? What was his sin? That he avoided the battle. Why did he fall into this sin? He told us, فَأَنَا إِلَيْهَا أَصْهَرْ. Remember the trees and the dates, and they looked juicy and ripe. The dunya, it tempted him. It made him fall into the sin. Because the dunya made him fall into the sin, as a result, what did he do? He's giving up that which made him fall into the sin. So he goes, I give all my money fi sabilillah and I don't want anything with it. But then you need to be wise as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to him, don't do that. Hold some of your wealth and give some of your wealth in sadaqah. And so radiallahu anhu, he did that. So Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is teaching us, you need to identify the problem of your sin. What's the problem of your sin? Until you fall in sins because of bad companionship that you have? Avoid it. Give it up fi sabilillah. Why are you missing Salat al-Fajr? What's the reason? Search for the reason. Is it staying late, too late on YouTube and so on? If that's the case, give it up fi sabilillah. Identify the cause of your sin and give it up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like what Ka'ab radiallahu anhu did. Then he says, وَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِنَّمَا أَنْجَانِ بِالصِّدْقِ وَإِنَّ مِنْ تَوْبَتِي أَلَّا أُحَدِّثَ إِلَّا صَادِقًا مَا بَقِيتْ. He said, O Rasulullah, from part of my tawbah as well, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me because of my honesty. And therefore, a condition of my tawbah is that I am going to speak the truth so long as I remain alive. I'll never think of speaking a lie ever again. Subhanallah, Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he teaching us two things. Number one, know what your sin is, get rid of it, and that'll close the door of the shaitan. Number two, know what saved you. Here he's identifying what saved him. You should know what saved you and you should know what increases your iman. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is teaching us here that what saved my iman is being what? Is being honest. This is what saved my iman. And this is what increased my iman. You too, my brothers and sisters in Islam, you know exactly what makes you fall in the sin and you know what revives you and ignites your iman once again. What is it? Is it reading Quran? Stick to it. Is it hanging out with good friends? Stick to it. Is it attending a lesson? Stick to it. How many times into you yourself, you know, and you realize when you go down in your iman and you say, I know what I can revive it with once again. I used to attend al-masjid. I used to pray at least salat al-fajr wal-isha in al-masjid. I used to recite one juz'a of the Quran a day. I know how I can reboost. When you know what would increase your iman, hold on to it. Ka'b radiallahu anhu is saying, I know what boosted my iman. And what saved me is the fact that I spoke the truth. Therefore, part of my tawbah is I'm going to hold to this and I will speak the truth so long as I live. You need to identify what guides you and what misguides you and hold on to them during these times. Then Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he says, فَوَاللَّهِ, he says, by Allah, I do not know any of the Muslims whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted truthfulness to speak the truth better than me. And he says, by Allah, since the time I had made the promise to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until this very day, many years after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death, he says, I have never ever intended to tell a lie, and I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect me for the rest of my life. And that was the case, he never spoke a lie. Now, يعني بإذن الله تعالى, in the last passage that he concludes with, ورضي الله عنه, Ka'b, he says, فأنزل الله عز وجل. Now he's telling us what did Allah reveal in their case. Let's look at these beautiful ayat and conclude the story with it. He says, فأنزل الله لقد تاب الله على النبي والمهاجرين والأنصار الذين اتبعوه في ساعة العسرة من بعد ما كاد يزيغ قلوب فريق منهم ثم تاب عليهم إنه بهم رؤوف الرحيم. That's the first of the three ayat. Allah عز وجل said, Allah certainly had already accepted the repentance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen carefully. Allah accepted the tawbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wal muhajirin, and those who migrated with him. Wal ansar, and the ansar, those who supported him, the people of al-Madinah. Alladhina attaba'uh, those who followed him. Fi sa'atil usra, in the hour of difficulty. What was that? That was the battle of Tabuk. It was a difficult battle. It was over 50, 60 days. It was full of hardship. Even though it was full of hardship, Allah Azza wa Jal referred to it as 1 hour of difficulty. Why? لأنه the moment, يعني, it's just 1 hour. It's just the beginning. When you jump and dive into the difficulty, خلاص, the rest is easy. Allah Azza wa Jal will take care of it for you. So Allah Azza wa Jal considers it 1 hour of difficulty. Allah Azza wa Jal accepted the tawbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the muhajirun and the ansar. مِن بَعْدِ مَا كَادَ يَزِيغُ قُلُوبُ فَرِيقٍ مِّنْهُمْ. Even after some of their hearts almost deviated, يعني there's some sahaba when they left, their nafs began to give them waswas. يعني you should leave the war. Look how difficult this is. Some of them, this idea, this thought came to them. But Allah Azza wa Jal saved them from that. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّهُ بِهِمْ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal accepted their tawbah. I want you to understand this. These ayat are supposed to be revealed in the case of who? Ka'b radiallahu anhu and his two friends. How did Allah begin the tawbah? How did Allah begin this passage? He began by declaring that Allah accepted the tawbah of who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ansar, al-muhajirin. Why did he begin like this? When the whole thing is about their tawbah, the three of them. There's a beautiful meaning here. And that is so that the believers aren't left out of the blessing of being accepted with your tawbah. Yani, you know, falling into a sin and then making a tawbah and then knowing that your tawbah has been accepted is far better than anything else anyone else will experience. So the other sahaba that followed the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Tabuk could have felt something in their hearts. How come they didn't attend? Yeah, they were treated difficultly, but it's worth it at the end that Allah reveals Quran in your case and accept your tawbah. What about us? No one declared us, we have a tawbah that is accepted. And everyone is in need of a tawbah. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in need of the tawbah. So for them not to be left out of this great blessing and gift, Allah Azza wa Jal includes them as well, and he begins with them. And this is why he says, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. And then he says at the end of the ayah, ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Then he accepted their tawbah. See the word, tawbah, 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 after tawbah. In other words, this is the believer's relationship with a tawbah. It's supposed to be one after the other. A tawbah is a path to the paradise. Yeah, yani my brothers and sisters in Islam understand this. You cannot live without a tawbah. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah declares, those who do not make a tawbah in their life, and are consistent and regular on this, they are from among the wrongdoers of ظالمون. وَالظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. For you need to understand the importance of a tawbah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. And also Allah Azza wa Jalla has accepted the tawbah of the three in which their verdict was delayed. Yani their case was delayed for 50 days. Shuf. One ayah was about the tawbah of the entire army and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And one ayah is about the tawbah of the three. Special. Yani one tawbah for all of them, one ayah for all of the other army, and one whole ayah for three, Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, Hilal, and Umayyah radiallahu anhum ajma'een. Subhanallah. You can understand their status and their position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they deserved an entire ayah. وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. Allah describes them. حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضِ. Until the earth has become caged and constricted. حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضِ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. Even though it's so vast and wide. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ. And then after the earth has caged in on them, their nafs also caged in on them. They're choking now. وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. And they were absolutely certain that there is no escape from Allah except to Allah. Look how beautiful this is. There is no escape from Allah except back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني سبحان الله, just you need to understand that. Where are you going to go? Just like, يعني, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. But imagine a parents are upset with their child who's done something wrong. And the child runs around for a little bit. Eventually, where's he going to go? Other than run back to his mother. Then he's got no one else. For Allah Azza wa Jal belongs the highest of example. Even if you fell in the most terrible and worst of sins, who other than Allah Azza wa Jal you have to escape to? So, وَظَنُّوا. ظَنُّوا meaning they were certain that there is no escape from Allah except to Allah. ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا. Then Allah Azza wa Jal accepted their tawbah. He turned to them so that they could repent. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Understand this, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Something very beautiful. That, subhanAllah, you see the sins, what kind of depression and what kind of worry it causes. ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ. Now look what happens. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in the ayah after this, this is the final last ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O you who believe, fear Allah and be with the honest people, with the truthful ones. It is something incredible and amazing. Listen to this. We're going to conclude our lesson with it. مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. العلماء رحمهم الله, they said الصَّادِقِينَ are the three. كعب, وهلال, ومرارة, رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. These are the three. They are الصَّادِقِينَ. Watch this. An ayah before, Allah Azza wa Jal calls them out for their sins. An ayah after, Allah Azza wa Jal declares them الصَّادِقِينَ. An ayah before, Allah Azza wa Jal had commanded the entire Medina to isolate from them and to boycott them. And ayah after, what is Allah saying? Kunu ma'a, be with ma'a. You know ma'a what it means? It means be with them. Allah Azza wa Jal now commands the believers, you have to befriend them. These three are sadiq. You have to be with them. You have to be companions with them. SubhanAllah. You see what At-Tawbah does? The sin, the ayah before, is the consequence of the sin. No one is allowed to talk to you. Cut them all out. And Allah Azza wa Jal is calling him out for their sin. خُلِّفُوا. And an ayah after the tawbah, what happens? Allah declares them الصَّادِقِينَ. And Allah Azza wa Jal commands the believers to befriend them and walk with them and be with them. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Understand, this is the virtue of a tawbah, where it takes you and where it puts you. What you were before and what you are after in just one ayah. فيعني يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وكعب رضي الله عنه ends with these ayat. وسبحان الله, يعني, this is the story of the repentance of Ka'b ibn Malik رضي الله عنه. We learn so many things from it. And each and every single lesson of these, you're supposed to stop on in your life and reflect over and ponder over and implement them as best as you can. Ka'b رضي الله عنه's tawbah, and I consider it a doctor's degree in how one falls in a sin and how one revives and climbs back up from the sin and continues and increases in his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, this is a doctor degree. This is a thesis in how one falls and how one can pick himself up and revive once again. So listen and read his story once again. Pay attention to every detail of it and bi-idhnillahi ta'ala try to revive these lessons in your life. At the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deems it a very important and a necessary lesson to the point where He places it in the Quran. We read it and we share its lessons and its stories and its guidance until the day of judgment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among those who benefit from what we heard, and we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people of the Quran, among the people of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innahu waliyu thalika wal qadiru alayhi wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.